Now, this morning, it's my happy privilege to share something with you from the Word of God. I usually look to the Lord for some special word for every occasion. And as I look to the Lord for what He would have me bring you this morning, a verse of Scripture came to me, and I will share it with you. We will see what we may develop from this. The verse I have in mind is in the second chapter of 2 Timothy, verse 13. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. The strange verse. If we believe not, I think that the apostle here, in this letter to Timothy, is thinking about the church and God's people. If we believe not, this does not include our faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. If we believe not, he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Now, this brings me to the question of the responsibility of God. And that's what I will speak to you about this morning, is the responsibility of God. Now, all of our Christian lives, we have heard about our responsibility. From the time that we joined the Sunday school class, right down through the years of our youth and our adult years in the church, we are brought into a constant awareness of our responsibility. And the responsibility has covered the whole panorama of Christian life. Responsibility for our behavior. Responsibility for our support of the church. Our responsibility for our vision to bring the gospel to every creature. Missionary responsibility. Responsibility to our neighbors in the way we live. And the whole area of responsibility has been brought before us. This is a pastoral ministry. As a preacher, I have had the extra burden of responsibility. I remember when I was ordained, the district superintendent waving his finger at the candidates for ordination, telling them of their awesome responsibility of preaching the gospel. And so it has been, and I could go into considerable detail here, but I think I have made my point that we have been tremendously aware of our responsibility. Well, that's quite all right. But one day when I felt my responsibility was more than I can bear, I had a little talk with God about it. And I told God that it appeared to me that the Scriptures pointed up that we were partners with God and co-workers with Him. And then I said to God, You know, you are my father, and I am the son. How come all the responsibility is on me? And I said, in the normal situation, the father bears the great weight of responsibility. And in children, we do not give them very much responsibility. The word responsibility really means, in its simplest form, ability to respond. And so children do not have too much ability to respond, particularly to the workaday world. so we do not load them up very much. But I had this talk with God, and I said, it seemed to me, God, that I am aware of this great responsibility. I would like to know what you are doing. Do you think I was a bit brash? No, I think maybe, friends, that we miss a lot by not having a talk with God once in a while. Now, I'm not talking about praying. I'm not talking about this endless bead counting we do, saying the same thing over every day. I'm talking about talking to God in a normal way. And now this is what the scriptures mean when it says, if God says, if you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. Now the real meaning here is not physical drawing near to God. You can only draw near to people when you talk to them. You set up communication with people by talking to them. You don't know what people are like. You may create all kinds of ideas and prejudices even, but until you talk with a person and set up a communication, you really don't know them. Now that's what God is saying when he said, you draw near to me, you talk to me, and I'll talk to you. Now this solves the problem for a lot of people who say, well, God never says anything to me. Why? Some people say God spoke to me, but how come he never says anything to me? The reason God doesn't say anything to you is because you have never brought God into your life on a conversational level. I'm saying all of that to explain why I talk to God the way I do. I do this every day. I talk to God on a conversational level. Not because I read a book about conversation with God. I've done that before that book was ever written. Now I would like to speak to you this morning about the responsibility of God, the Father. And while I'm speaking, I don't want you to think in your mind, how about us? How about me? How about me? How about, why am I not supposed to do this? Just don't think about that. That's the pastoral ministry. I'm not the pastor this morning. I'm the traveling evangelist. I'm here today and gone tomorrow. So I'm going to talk about God's responsibility. Did you ever hear about that before? That's what we're going to hear about this morning. God is tremendously responsible. He's faithful whether we believe it or not. He is faithful whether we believe it or not. He cannot deny himself. So if we will put God in the proper perspective and let him fulfill his role, it's going to bring a lot of ease to us. You know, being a Christian is just taking it easy. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Don't work so hard, folks. Take it easy. Maybe I'll explain that a little better as we go along. But actually, we're not responsible for being here, after all. When God made man in the beginning, this is his idea, wasn't yours. And since it was God's idea to make you, the main responsibility of your being here is not yours. The Bible says that he is a faithful creator. You read that in 1 Peter 4:19, where it describes God as a faithful creator. So God is faithful to his creation, what he made. He didn't walk away and forget about it. But he is faithful to all that he created. And since you are one of those that God created, you are the result of the propagation of his creation, then God is responsible for you. And I have told God more than once that he's responsible for me. Then the fact that you were born into the world in sin, born in sin and conceived in iniquity, did not relieve God of his responsibility. In all of the concepts of moral law, nobody could be responsible for any condition over which they have had no moral choice. Nobody asked me before I was born whether I wanted to be born a sinner or a saint. So I had no choice in the matter. And I was not responsible for being born a sinner. Neither were you. The responsibility of being born a sinner does not rest on the sinner at all. The responsibility of being born a sinner rests on God, who created man in his own image with a full knowledge of what would happen to man. Since then, the responsibility rests upon God for a sinful world. God loved this world of creatures that he had made and over which he was responsible. So God, in bearing his responsibility, devised a means whereby mankind could be delivered from the state of sin and iniquity and to be brought on a level with his Son, Jesus Christ. And so he was faithful, and God met his responsibility, and he sent his own Son into the world to bear the sin of many. He tasted death for every man. He tasted your death and my death, which is the result of sin and separation from God. And at that point, God relieved himself of the responsibility of the sin of the world, because he brought mankind to a point where they could make a choice of whether they wanted to be a sinner or a saint. And that is the very essence of the gospel, to preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Because the believing here is the moral choice of making the change of being a sinner or a saint. The moment that one hears the gospel and says no to God, he has made a choice in which the full responsibility of his condition no longer rests upon God, because God has made a way for him to be a saint. It rests upon the man. Therefore, the man will come to judgment. He that believeth not shall be damned. So the damnation or the judgment of God will fall upon those only who bear their own responsibility. But God has taken care of his responsibility for the human family through his Son, Jesus Christ, dying on the cross. Now also God is faithful. Now the word faithful is the same as responsibility. The Bible does not use the word responsibility, but the word faithful is even a fuller word, but has the same essential meaning. We use the word responsibility, but the word faithful means the same thing, only in a broader context. Now God declares his faithfulness to his creation. God declares his faithfulness to all that he has promised, because He has promised many things, and he cannot deny himself. So God, in his constancy, makes it safe for us to rely upon God's faithfulness to us. He is responsible for us as Christians. God has called us into a certain environment which he has created for us to live in. Before he ever created Adam and Eve, he fixed up a place for them to live in. It was called the Garden of Eden. Everything was just beautiful and wonderful. The world was a wonderful place. Now, when God called us out of the world, which he did, he translated us out of the dominion of sin into the kingdom of the dear Son of God, so that we have been translated into a different realm, in the same world, in the same unessential outer conditions, but he has brought us into an environment of his own making. And God is faithful in dealing with us as Christians, whom he hath called. We find in 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 and 24, the declaration of God concerning we who are called. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 and 24. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. In other words, God, who has called the preservation of all of those who he has called, he is faithful to do it. Now, this brings us to a place of rest in God, so that we can, as Christians, feel that we're not in a tenuous situation where we are, as it were, hanging by a thread. We have been brought into God's kingdom. We have been brought into a place of security. I'm not talking about the so-called teaching of eternal security. I'm not touching on that. But I'm talking about the security that we find in Jesus Christ and the preservation as people that we have in him. God himself is responsible for that. Don't try to save yourself. You are already saved. And all the Lord has asked us to do, as those who are in Christ, to let Christ live his life in us. Don't try to be a Christian. Quit trying. What a miserable job it is to try and be a Christian. You are not a Christian by trying. You are a Christian by the miraculous transforming power of God through Jesus Christ in us. It is Christ in us who lives out his life that makes us what God wants us to be. And I will add another note on that. Don't try to be spiritual. The most pitiful sight that you can see in the Church of Jesus Christ today is people trying to be spiritual. You are not spiritual by trying. And the only way that you can be spiritual by trying is by putting on those outward manifestations that you believe appear to be spiritual. The words you choose, high-sounding biblical expressions and attitudes that are external, that people will say, oh dear, isn't he spiritual? Spiritual people don't have to get under that that awful burden of trying to be spiritual at all. In this glorious life in God, if we walk with God, the Spirit of God will manifest himself in us, and we will be a spiritual people whether people like it or not. We don't have to make any appearances of spirituality. All we have to do, all we need to do, who are filled with the Spirit, is to let the Spirit of God have his way in our lives. A human being can't be spiritual. It is only the Spirit of God that can be spiritual. And so if the Spirit of God is in us, his manifestation through us will be spiritual. So the responsibility here is pretty much taken up by God himself. Quit working so hard at this business. You'll wear yourself out trying to be spiritual and trying to be a Christian. But it seems to me that the mission of the church has been, to a large extent, loading people up with burdens and responsibility that perhaps the leaders will not bear with their little finger. What does the Bible teach? Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Rest. Here's the place of power, Pastor, is rest. The place of power is not in hustle bustle. The place of power is rest. This is the rest wherewith the weary shall rest. Where we cease from our labors, the apostle said. Now, that doesn't mean you don't do anything, that you quit. Doesn't mean that at all. It means that activities for God come from a different source than the hustle and bustle of the flesh life. We've got to do this. God has said over and over and over again, both to Israel and in the church today, "He that trusteth in me, he that trusteth." That means resting in God. God's going to do it anyhow, whether we believe him or not. We don't believe everything about God that he will do for us, but God doesn't care so much about that. He's going to do what he's promised to do anyhow. Are you resting a little bit now? Can you see God, who is responsible, who has made it so clear that all those that he has called, he takes a place of the responsibility as a father? He's the father. He's my father, and he's your father. The great responsibility rests upon him. A few years ago, I took an old battered-up Russian plane from Belgrade, Yugoslavia, over to a city in Bulgaria, Sofia, the capital. And I did this because the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, told me to go over there and give witness to him. And so I didn't know a soul in Bulgaria. I knew it was a communist country, and they're not falling all over themselves to welcome Americans there. So I took this old plane out of there one evening, watching the patches flap on the wings. And we finally landed in a snowstorm in Bulgaria. And about 10 o'clock at night, and that was the last plane in this little airport. There was a bus there, and the workers in the airport all hopped in the bus, and we few pastors got in, and we went to town. Bus went into town. There was a big square in the center of town. The bus unloaded, and the people all scattered everywhere. And I stood there in the snow, I didn't know which way to go. I didn't know anybody, and just suddenly everybody was gone, and I was there alone. Kind of a remote feeling. Now, I had no hotel reservation, nothing. I was just there. And I had two suitcases, and one of them was really heavy because I'd been away from home for several months and I had quite a few things with me. And I stood there in the snow, and I didn't know which way to go. And I couldn't carry that suitcase more than a half a block at a time. And so the only thing I could do was to look up to my father. He's responsible, see. And I just made him responsible right on the spot. Who am I to get in a flurry about this? You're responsible for this, God. I wouldn't be here if you hadn't told me to go. So I stood there and let God know what his responsibility was. And I have done that many times. And so before I knew it, a hand came out. Right at my side, all I saw was a hand come right out there, just like that. And took a hold of that heavy suitcase. There was nobody around, you know. And suddenly a hand came out there and took hold of the suitcase. And I turned around, behold, there was a man fastened onto the hand. And that man picked up that suitcase, said nothing to me, and carried it for three or four blocks and never set it down. I protested, but he didn't listen to what I was saying. He didn't understand what I was saying because I was speaking in English. Whoever this was evidently didn't speak English. I thought all the angels spoke a little English, but this one didn't seem to. And he brought me into a hotel, went to the hotel clerk and had a word or two. There was no rooms. He said, there's no rooms in town. Every hotel room is taken. And the taxis have quit running at this hour of the night. But he said, there is a hotel out on the edge of town that there may have a room out there. And he gave the name of this town to this fellow. Anyhow, a taxi right at that moment drove up in front of the hotel, let a passenger out, and I hailed the taxi. And this man put my suitcase in the car, got in the taxi with me. We went out, we left this hotel, there was no rooms there. And then this man went over and had a private conversation with this hotel clerk. I don't know what he said to him, but I think he said, there's a son of God here that needs a room. I don't know. And suddenly the man said, yes. They took me up to a room, and there was two beds in this room, narrow beds. And I slept on one bed and the angel on the other. That's right. And in the morning, we got up, and we went downstairs, and he hailed a taxi cab and took me downtown and put me in a hotel, a large hotel right in the center of town, and arranged for a room for me in that hotel. And then he went and he just disappeared just like that. And in all of that I'm telling you about, not one word passed between that man and myself. Not a word. Can you imagine that? A man picking up your suitcase, carrying it to your hotel and sleeping with you overnight, taking you and establishing you in the deluxe hotel in the city in the morning. Not a word. It was nothing more than God Almighty taking care of his responsibility. You say, well, was that man an angel? I don't know what he was. He was just a man sent from God. Folks, God takes care of his people. Did you know that? God feels his responsibility toward you and toward me. I want you to know that, and I want you to feel it, that you're not isolated someplace out on an island, marooned, desperate, set apart, cut loose. God, where are you? You may not even feel God. He's there, he's watching over you, and he's responsible for you. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Well, I could tell you many stories along the same line, but this is just one illustration. Well, it so happened that this hotel that I was in, I didn't know anything about where there was a church. But I asked the hotel clerk if there was a certain kind of a church that I tried to describe to him. He could speak English. And he said, I think the church you're looking for is right around the corner here. And lo and behold, I went not over two blocks from that hotel, and there was a Pentecostal church. And they were having a minister's gathering when I got there, and there was a woman there that could speak English, and I ministered unto those ministers. And they said, we're having a meeting tonight, which is the middle of the week, and that church, which was a large church, was packed full of people in communist Bulgaria, and God gave me an opportunity to give my testimony about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when that was done, I was through. And I left the country. But I made some friends in that one day who have been corresponding with me ever since. Hallelujah. God is responsible, folks. All of the responsibility doesn't rest on you nor on me, but God is carrying his responsibility toward us. Hallelujah. Do you not think that God knew what he was doing when he chose you to be in his kingdom? Do you think this was just a blind action or happenstance that you are a child of God today? Did you just think that God turned a wheel and when your number came up, well, that was you? Did you think that there was something that God was pleased about your life in some way because you were good or righteous or you had a nice personality that God chose you? Why? Jesus said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. This has been God's decision about you. And whenever God makes a decision, he always is responsible for the result of his decision. Now, we have these great evangelistic meetings in which people are called upon to make a decision. This is not exactly the truth. The opportunity is presented in which we can respond to God's decision. And it's the response, really, that we make rather than the decision. Because the gospel itself creates the atmosphere in which we make a response. Repentance is the gift of God. No man can come to repentance on his own because he doesn't have the disposition of repentance. And so by the Spirit of God brings us to a place where we consent to God's appeal to us to become his. And then we are his choice. And when God makes a choice, when God makes a decision, God will stand by his decision even if we believe not. There is only one biblical exception to the everlastingness of this decision of God, and that is apostasy, which we deny the God who has saved us. This is the biblical reason for final separation from God. The New Testament doesn't use the term backsliding. It would be good if we would examine what this is all about. My message to you this morning, and I don't know why I'm bringing this to you, it is perhaps there are some folks who may be fathers of families or mothers with children that there are problems in the home, husband and wife, or there may be in relationship with the church or with the job. You are God's child. God is the Father, and the great responsibility rests not upon you, but upon your Father, which has called you. And I say this, friends, that you can communicate with God in all of your problems, and he will direct you in all of your ways. Blessed be his name. That is one of the practical purposes of having the Holy Spirit, that Jesus said, that when he is come, he will guide you in all truth. All truth means everything that relates to you and your life. God bears fully his own responsibility. Praise the Lord. My Father in heaven, you are responsible for this meeting this morning. Thank you for your attention. Thank you for your quietness. I know you've been thinking. I know that the Word of God has been saying something to you. Get in the yoke. Not in your yoke, but get in his yoke. And really enjoy God. God is to be enjoyed. Do you have a good time with God? Have a good time with God. We have a popular saying today that you get when you buy a gallon of gas, have a good day. Everybody's saying, have a good day, have a good day. Have a good time with God. Tell him you'll love him once in a while. Tell yourself that he loves you once in a while. You'll become closer to the truth. Praise the Lord. I am enjoying my salvation. I'm enjoying my relationship with God. It's not a burden to me at all. Not a bit. No burden to me at all, this relationship that I have with God. I would be in a terrible mess, Pastor, if I didn't have it. In fact, I would have been in my grave many years ago because I was addicted to liquor and smoking cigarettes and partying around and all the rest of it that robs people of their health. I would be in my grave. But today, I'm enjoying good health. I'm in my 74th year, and I'm tramping all over the world and enjoying myself. Hallelujah. Have a good day today in God, folks. He is bearing the great responsibility. Praise the Lord. And friends, when we see this, the cloud will lift from this driving pressure of being a Christian and being in church and meeting the public and trying to put on those kind of airs that look Christian. The whole business, the whole package of that weights you down. You're under pressure. But he that the Son maketh free is free indeed. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm free this morning. It's a wonderful thing. A wonderful thing to be free. And remember, friends, that God, your Father, is responsible for you.
Let's stand together, shall we? Ah, that's a word.